Take your Bible, please, and turn to Matthew chapter 6. You know, one of the very deep longings of our hearts is to know that we are loved. We ask ourselves, is there anybody who really cares about me? Is there anyone who watches over me? Is there anyone who really loves me? The answer to that question, those questions, is yes. There is a God in heaven who loves you and cares about you deeply. God loves all of us with a steadfast and loyal love. He loves each and every one of us deeply and passionately. In fact, God loves all of us so strongly that He has determined to save us from the power and penalty of sin. John 3:16 says that God so loved the world. Now let's take out that word world and let's make it personal. Put your name in there. God so loved Sarah or Jeff or Bill that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God loves you, and when you receive His Son, Jesus Christ, as your Lord and Savior, something absolutely wonderful happens. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 12 says, as many as received Him, as many as received Christ, to them He gave the right to become children of God. God, the Creator, the Sovereign of the universe, is your Father. And as children of God, having that exalted position, we can come before the throne of God any day, any night, any time, and pray to our Father. That's why when Jesus Christ taught His disciples to pray, in Matthew chapter 6 and in verse 9, He said, in this manner therefore pray, our Father in heaven. The Aramaic word for Father, I think most of you know this, is Abba. It means dear Father, or even more intimately, Daddy or Dad or Papa. Think about that. The Sovereign God of the universe, the Creator, loves you so deeply and sacrificially and personally, and He says, you may call me Father, for I truly am, and I will defend you, I will protect you, I will provide for you, I will guide you, and as your Father, I will never, ever, ever leave you or forsake you. Romans 8:39 tells us that nothing shall ever be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, sadly, some people can't grasp that idea about how wonderful it is that God is their Father. This comes from the reality of the fact that many people had fathers that were so very unkind and very unloving. Or maybe their fathers abandoned them physically or emotionally. Maybe they were there in the household, but they were distant from their children. I read a statistic this past week that almost 50% of all children in the United States are separated from their fathers for one reason or another. And more society is telling us, look, you know, all these traditional ideas about fatherhood and dad, we just don't need it anymore. It's archaic. It's too old. And yet you read all these statistics from places like the American Psychological Association or the Center for Disease Control that say all of the behavioral problems that we see, most of the emotional problems, most of the problems that children have about their identity, crime, all kinds of things, all go back to the fact that there is not a strong, good father figure in the home. Whether we know it or not, whether we want to acknowledge it or not, there is within each and every one of us a deep-seated hunger for a father's love. Think of all that a good father does. He's loving and tender. He pays bills. He's helpful. He pays bills. He protects. He pays bills. He provides and understands and pays bills. My own earthly father was a very good man. He sacrificed for his family in great quantities. My father died in 1995, and I miss him greatly, but I am not fatherless. That's my point to anybody who's missing their father, whose father is not there for one reason or another. You are not fatherless. God, the Creator, is your father, just as real as your earthly father was. And He loves you. He's concerned about you. He is aware of all of the needs that are on your heart. He's aware of all that you're concerned about. He's aware of all the problems facing you down the road. And He is more than willing to meet all of those needs. Even though sometimes we want what He has more than we want Him. Let's turn to Luke chapter 15. Jesus Christ tells a story there about what our Father God is really like. Luke chapter 15 and verse 11. It's the story known as the prodigal son, but it's more about the forgiving father. Luke chapter 15 and verse 11. Then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. Now, this was just a shocking thing in this culture. It's not like he's saying, hey, Dad, you know, I'm growing up now. I'd like my inheritance. He's basically saying to his father, hey, you know, I can't wait around till you're dead and gone. I want my inheritance, and I want it now. That's what he's saying. But see, we do that sometimes with God. Maybe even not thinking about it, but we're constantly going to Him in prayer. And we say, Father, I need, I need, I need, I need. We want what our Father has more than we want our Father. And Scripture is clear that when we delight ourselves in our Father, then we have the desires of our heart. So the young boy said, hey, Dad, I want what I want, and I want it now, and I don't care about anything else. Drop dead. Give me the checkbook. So he divided to them his livelihood. He gave the inheritance to both the young son and the older son. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. The word prodigal, does anybody know what that word means? It means extremely wasteful. Just extravagant. There's a hot dog stand, and instead of buying the hot dog for $1.25, you give him $50 and you say, keep the change. It's wasteful. Prodigal living. Verse 14. But when he spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed the swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. Now this young man wasted his inheritance, found himself absolutely humiliated, feeding pigs. For a Jewish person, this was about as low as you can go. He was hungry, he was poor, his friends ran out on him, and even when he begged, no one gave him anything. Verse 17. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to eat and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. Boy, son who wasted his life, now he wants to go back home, but he feels so unworthy that he's not even going to ask his father to forgive him and take him back into the family. He's going to say to his father, make me just a hired servant. I don't think that's going to happen. Verse 18. I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. He must have been Italian. This is a picture of our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father sees his son a great distance off. doesn't know if his son's coming back to say, Pop, I need more money. Doesn't know if he's coming back to say, I've made a great success of myself. I'm not coming back here anymore. I don't need you. He just sees his son from a distance and he runs and he puts his arms around him and he just kisses him from head to toe. He's just happy to see his child. This is a picture of our Heavenly Father. Now, when Jesus was telling this story, the Pharisees who were listening, they're thinking, holy smoke, talk about being prodigal. You know who's prodigal in this story? The father, wasting his love on that no good kid of his. But Jesus says, this is a picture of what God is like. And God is not wasting his love. He knows that this love will do something for his son. Well, father ran, fell on his neck and kissed him. Verse 21, and the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servant, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Even before the son has the opportunity to say, make me one of your hired servants, the father calls for the best robe. That is a robe that was reserved for guests of honor. And then he calls for a ring to be put on his son's hand. The ring was a signet ring. It showed that the son had authority and power to use all of his father's resources. And then he calls to have sandals placed on his son's feet. Slaves went barefoot. Members of the household wore shoes. So what he's saying is, you are restored to full sonship. And it wasn't what the son did that brought him to this place of great honor. It is what who did? The father. That's what God has done for us. We were sinners. We didn't deserve anything that God gave us. But he clothed us in righteousness. He gave us the authority to enter his throne room and say, Heavenly Father, and to have access to all of his resources. He's made us full sons, and there's coming a time when there's going to be a big banquet, a big party. Well, isn't it absolutely wonderful? And then the father in the story turns to the oldest son who's complaining, and he says to his son, all that I have is yours. And that's what our Heavenly Father says to us. All that I have is yours. That's what a father does. A father says to his children, all that I have is yours. Think about that. Your Heavenly Father says that to you. You know, Jesus Christ knew that God was his Father. He knew that all that the Father had was his. And this realization gave Jesus the strength to stand for the truth when many people were turning away from it. Jesus Christ knew that his father loved him, and it gave him the courage to carry out his ministry. It gave him the ability to overcome the rejection that he faced. And ultimately, understanding that the father loved him and that all the resources of God were at his disposal enabled Jesus Christ to face the horrors of the cross. Are you facing a tough time? A lot of us are. A lot of us are going through some really difficult situations in life. The only way you're going to get through it is to understand that your Father loves you deeply and passionately. And if you're going through the waters, it's because you have to. Peter talks about if you're going through trials, it's so that the genuineness of your faith can be found to praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. I would never let my sons go through anything that I thought would really hurt them or harm them. If I allow them to go through something, I know it's because they're going to learn something here. And our Heavenly Father says the same things to us. He loves us more than we could ever imagine. Matthew chapter 6, verse 8 says that when we pray to God our Father, we pray to one who knows all of our needs before we even ask. Matthew chapter 7, verse 11 reveals that when we pray to God our Father, that he is more than willing to give us all good things. Romans chapter 8, verse 32 tells us that when we pray to God, our Father, we pray to him who did not spare his own son. So he shall freely give us all things. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7 declares that when we pray to God, our Father, we can cast all our care upon him because he cares for us. In answer to the question, is there anybody who loves me at all? The answer is yes. Our God who is in heaven, our Father. That brings up my last point. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. When Jesus Christ taught us to pray, he said we may say, our Father in heaven. When we pray with an emphasis on the word our, what we're saying is that we don't pray alone. We pray with our Lord Jesus Christ and with the family and for the family. When we pray with the emphasis upon the word Father, we're saying that we know that there is someone who loves us deeply and sacrificially. What do we mean, though, when we say our Father in heaven? Do we mean that God is distant from us? You know, God's in heaven and we're on the earth and never the twain shall meet? Literally, what Jesus Christ said here was our Father in the heavens, plural. Not our Father in heaven, our Father in the heavens. The Bible often talks about heaven as the air around us and the sky in which the birds fly and the clouds are. Also talks about heaven in the sense of the space where the stars are. It also talks about the heaven of heavens, the place where the Spirit of God is, the throne of God is. Our Father in the heavens means what? He's here, he's there, he's everywhere. There is not a place where God is not. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 27 says, behold, the heavens and the heavens of heavens cannot contain you. In Psalm 139, David's saying, where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? The answer is nowhere. You can be here in church, and your heavenly Father is where? Here. You can be in some far-off land, and your heavenly Father is where? There. You can be in a crowd of people, and your heavenly Father is right there. You can be thinking, I'm all alone. There's no one here for me. And your heavenly Father is as clear, as near as your very breath. In the heavens also means one more thing in Scripture. It means that God is sovereign, God is powerful, and he rules and overrules in all of life. Let me show you this. Turn to Psalm chapter 2. Psalm 2. Psalm 2 is a prophetic psalm about God's ultimate triumph over a rebellious world. And even though all the nations of the world will rage against God and plot against him and his son Jesus Christ, God is going to set forth his king on the earth, Jesus Christ, and the kingdom of God will be established over the whole world. Psalm 2, verse 1 says, why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord, against Yahweh, God, and against his anointed, Jesus Christ, saying, let us break their bands in pieces and cast away their cords from us. Verse 4, he who sits in the heavens, plural, shall what? Laugh. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath and his distress and distress them in his deep displeasure. Yet I have set my king on my holy hill. Though the nations of the world rage against God and plot against him, he just laughs. How absolutely foolish to fight against God. God is not afraid of the nations, and God is not afraid of the storms you and I might face in life. I remember once a terrible storm when I was a very young boy. I must have been about 6 or 7 years old. I mean, it was horrible. The winds were fierce. The rains fell violently. Every time the lightning cracked the sky, my little body shook. And as the storm was going, I noticed that my father was standing by the screen door, just looking out at the storm calmly. And I was terribly afraid of the storm, but when I saw my father standing there, I was drawn to him. And so I walked over to him and just kind of put my hand on his leg, and then my arm went around his leg, and the thunder went boom boom, boom. And I didn't shake. I was just standing there calmly because I was with my Father. That's what should happen every time you pray, "Our Father in the heavens." Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness and your grace to us. Help us to realize the special high privilege it is for us to be called children of God. Thank you for being our Father, for being there for us. Thank you for being there for us before we knew we needed you. Thank you for being here for us when we sometimes don't trust you. And thank you for being here for us, Father, when we run to you and say, "Father, we love you with all that we are." In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.